The lesson this morning comes to us from Luke, the 15th chapter. Some people call it the parable of the lost son. Some of them call it the parable of the prodigal son. But before we start on the lesson, let's look who wrote this. Luke. Who was Luke? He was called a physician. He was a Greek. He was a friend of Paul. But he wrote the gospel according to Luke, and he wrote the Acts of the Apostle. The other gospels were written in what is called common Greek. But Luke was wrote in what is commonly called the High Greek. That would be like the U.S. English and the King's English. It's completely different, but it's the same. There's certain words that are used by Luke that have meanings that are a little different than what Matthew and Mark and John wrote. Luke is obsessed almost to the point of being, sometimes if you read him, you think, where in the world does he keep going over the same thing time after time after time? And what he does, he talks about grace. G-R-A-C-E. C.S. Lewis, an Irish author that most of you know, wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. But C.S. Lewis was different. He was a lay theologian. In 1939, they had gone to Oxford for a meeting of all of the religions of the world. And they were in a discussion, and they were in an argument about which religion is the true religion. They had the Muslims there, and they had the Hindus, and they had all the other isms there. And he came in the room, and he's listening to them. And he says, people, there's one thing that's different. Christianity has grace. None of the others have grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's there for all of us. It's not earned. It's there. We have that saying that there's no free lunch. Well, people, God's redemption is free. All you have to do is take it. Reach out and grab it and put your arms around it and love it. That's all you have to do. The story of the prodigal son is a story of grace. Here is a son that thinks he knows it all. He's probably 15, 16 years old whenever he asks his father for his third of the fortune. The oldest son gets 2/3 of the fortune. The youngest son gets a third of the fortune. That was written by the law. So his father gathered a third of the fortune and gave it to him. While he thinks he's going to go out and become that proverbial millionaire. But he gets in with the wrong crowd. They want to spend his money, not money that they earn. So within a few short span of time, he's broke. Now where's his friends? Where's his friends? All these people that were out partying with him. Where are they at now? Nowhere to be found. Not one place are they found. Well, finally, he's got to find work. The youngest son of a man that has amassed a fortune has few skills. So he has to take and go to a farmer of the country that he's in and ask for a job. And that job is herding pigs. A Jew herding pigs? Can you imagine how low you would have to be and herd a pig? A Jew couldn't even touch a pig. Let alone feed a pig. And he gets so hungry that he would eat what the pigs were eating. Now, us that have been around a farm knows what a pig eats. It's called slop. Leftovers. So have you ever been that down and out? Heard a story a couple weeks ago about a young man that had made the statement, "There's one thing that I'll never do, and that's steal. I'll lie, I'll do other things, but I will never steal." Well, about 3 years later, after he'd made this statement, he had a little baby. And that baby needed formula. And he had no money. And he went out and stole to get that baby. Don't ever say, "I won't do something." Because until we are able to walk in those people's shoes, we don't know what we have to do. So this prodigal has spent all of his inheritance. He's feeding pigs. He's willing to eat what the pigs are eating. Suddenly a thought comes into his mind. My servants that I had whenever I was at my father's house are better off than I am. I wonder if I can go back. Okay, so let's skip a little bit. And let's look at the eldest son. And it says in Luke 15:25, "Now his eldest son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. And he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come." If you had a brother that you hadn't seen for a long time, don't you expect to be part of the celebration? And he says, "And thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." And the eldest son was angry and would not go in. A Pharisee, someone that is self-righteous, someone that is better than his other brother. "I've stuck with my father. I've made my father more money. This is all mine. Why is my father giving away the fatted calf?" So let's look at the father. I can just imagine that every day that he's out on his veranda, he's looking down the hill, down the road, looking for that speck. He's looking for that lost son. He's there watching and waiting, just as our Lord is watching and waiting. He watches and he waits, and as soon as he sees him, he starts out running to him. Puts his arms around him, and it's almost as like that he has never been gone. He immediately calls for the ring to be placed upon his finger, the ring of power. The ring was an important thing to the Jew. That was what sealed the deals. That's what, whenever that they came upon an agreement, both rings were put in and sealed in wax. And then the robe, the purple robe, the robe of grace and the robe of power, was given unto him. And then they went in and had a party. But that's just the beginning of the end. Just as Christ was crucified on Golgotha's hill, the Son coming back is just the beginning of the end. Is it that? Or is it the end of the beginning? The end of the beginning. Think about those words. The end of the beginning. If it's the end of the beginning, then there's something to come after. Let us listen to these words.
was taking a trip on the plane the other day. I settled back in my seat, the bestseller I read, history of art. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Denmark to Bajar. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praise to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, made the blind to see again. For the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. Though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. Then he walked down the road and died on the cross. That was the end of the beginning. That's not a new book, that's the Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. Superstition, made up tales, just to help the weak to survive. Let me read it again, I said, listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, made the blind to see again. For the first time here on earth, we learned that God can be a friend. Though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. Then he walked down the road and died on the cross. That was the end of the beginning. End of the beginning, he said with a smile. What more can there be? He's dead. They said you hung him, put nails in his hands, and a crown of thorns on his head. I said, I'll read it again, but this time there's more, and I believe that this is true. His death wasn't the end, the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did this all for you. He was born of a virgin one holy night in a little town of Bethlehem. Angels singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, made the blind to see again. For the first time here on earth, you know that God can be a friend. Though he never ever did a single thing wrong, he was the one the crowd chose. And then he walked, and he died. But 3 days later, 3 days later, 3 days later, he rose. See, he came, and he lived, and he died. But that was the end of the beginning.
Luke 15:21 says this, and the son came unto his father, and he said, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fattest calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, who was dead. He is alive. Our son, our father's son, is alive. And by him being alive, gives us the ability to be alive. Forever and forever. If you are at a point in your life that Christ is not the important thing in your life, if you have never given him all of yourself, the altar is open. It is time to be the family of God.